Hey, this is Brian Zond, and I'm glad that you're interested in the podcast. You know, it's a free podcast, and it'll always be that way. But if you would like to give and help us out, that would be awesome, deeply appreciated. If you want to do that, you can do that through the Word of Life website or through the Word of Life mobile app. Anyway, God bless you. I hope you enjoy the podcast.
Not really a sermon, as in some traditions they will call it a homily because it's short. But I want to talk to you, and someone's applauding for that, yes. Not my kin, but someone else. Yes, preacher, don't go long. All right, I hear you. I want to talk tonight because this is our second of night on Friday nights in October, talking about worship and community. And I want to talk about community tonight, specifically talking about love. And so let me start with some words from Jesus. I'll read these and then we'll pray a little bit and talk about what it means to love one another. So let's listen first to Jesus and then we'll pray. Jesus says this. This is in John chapter 13, starting in verse 34. Jesus speaking says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as you have loved me, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Let's pray. Father of love, we turn to you and ask that as we spend time in the scriptures tonight, that you would open our eyes to the world of love, that we would see love in a new way, that we would be invited into your love, that we would be empowered by your Spirit to love one another. Help us tonight as a church, help us as a community of faith to consider this weighty topic of love. And Lord, may we be encouraged to grow in our love for you and especially our love for one another. We ask for help from the Holy Spirit to do this. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. So the most basic, the most simple, perhaps the most well-known commandment of Jesus is this one, to love one another. Now, this is no shocking revelation or announcement. Of course, we know this. And what Jesus clearly says here is that what marks us as his disciples is not that we have a Christian fish on the back of our car. It's not that we listen to Christian music and wear Christian t-shirts. But the single indication that we are followers of Jesus is that we have love for one another. And we're not surprised by that. We know this. Jesus says the greatest commandment is to love God with all that we have and to love our neighbor as ourselves, to even love our enemy. So part of the Christian life in following Jesus is to express love. But Jesus here is specifically speaking to his disciples when he tells them that this is how the world will know that you followers of mine, if you will love one another, this is how the world will see that you are indeed my followers, if you love one another. The problem that we have, particularly us English speakers, the problem that we have in understanding love is that in English, we only have one word for the word love. But we use that word in different ways, right? So, you love your mom, and you love the Royals, even though they're not in the playoffs this year. You love the Chiefs. You love your favorite sports team. You love your car. You love your cat. You love chocolate ice cream. You love your wife. You love your kids, right? We have all these different kind of loves, but they mean something a little bit different. I mean, you don't love your mom the way you love ice cream. Well, some of you do. Well, you can repent. We'll have an altar call right at the end. You can repent. You might love ice cream, but you don't love ice cream the same way you love mom. We have different ways of using that word love. So the question, if Jesus is calling us to love one another, and this is what marks us out as disciples, then the question is, with what kind of love are we supposed to love one another with? I mean, if we're supposed to love and we acknowledge there's different kinds of love, then what kind of love do we love one another with? I would submit tonight that the way we in the church, in the community of faith, the way we should love one another is the same way in which God loves us. And the love of God is an altogether different kind of love. The love from God is a love that never ends. It is a love without condition. It is a steady stream of love that there is no blockage and there is no end to. That's how God loves us. And so I would say that's how we should love one another. But I think we can go a little bit deeper than that, because within the New Testament, this is an interesting little Bible study you could do if you enjoy such things. Interesting little study you could do is to go through the Bible using whatever kind of, you know, online search program, or if you have computer software, it searches the Bible. Do some kind of search on every time the New Testament uses the phrase one another or each other. If you will do that, what you'll find is that there are dozens and dozens of commands in the New Testament, things that we are supposed to do to each other, for each other, to express love for one another. Now, of course, the first and foremost, what you see all throughout the New Testament is to love one another. So in all these one another commands, the biggest one is to love one another. Jesus says that. Paul says that in his letter. Peter says that in his letters. John, in his letters, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, you see this command to love one another. But if you search out the other ones, you'll find dozens and dozens of other commands that say, this is how Christians should love each other or one another. Now, there's dozens of them, and because I said I was going to be short, I'm just going to give you five. And actually, two are combined, so it's four. Anybody can remember those. All right, so here we go. I'm going to give you these commands. Actually, let me give you an example. Before I give you my list, I'm going to give you an example first. This is not the list. Let me get to the list in a second. Let me give you one example of one of these one another commands. It comes from the book of Romans, Romans 16, 16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. I hear an amen. Why don't we go ahead and practice this? If you'd like to turn to your neighbor, give them a big kiss, and then we will have Christian unity. All right. All right, don't act. Okay, husbands and wives, that's about it. All right. Some of the husbands or wives are like, all right, I'm going to get romantic. This is it. This is my time. The rest of you are like, is he serious? Am I supposed to kiss somebody? I love this verse because there's people that say, I don't interpret the Bible. I just take it as it is. Whatever the Bible says, I do it. I'm like, well, pucker up, pal. You didn't greet me with a holy kiss. All right. All right, so maybe just turn to your neighbor and give them like a holy handshake. All right, go ahead and do that. Can we do that at least? Just like handshake, or you pat them on the shoulder, pat them on the head if they're younger than you. Okay, that's good. All right, enough touching. That's enough. Okay. Enough touching. Let me give you my list. Five one another commands, because this is what we should do in Christian community. We should obey Jesus by loving one another, and I got some real specific things you can do. Here's the first one. Ready? I'll give you five of them. Here's number one. Serve one another. This comes to us from Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For you are called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. So we have this freedom in Christ. It's a real freedom. We have a freedom from our past and all the junk in our past. We are freed from our sins. We're freed from all that stuff we don't want to look at anymore in our past. We have become new people in Christ. We have entered into his new humanity, where the old has passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. And in that newness, there is real freedom. But as Christians, we don't use that freedom to do whatever we want. For Christians, freedom doesn't mean I get to do whatever I want. Freedom in Christ for Christians means we are now free to serve one another. So one of the ways we can love each other is by going out of our way to serve one another. So that when we're gathered together in community, when we come together as a church, we're not just looking to take from the community, we're looking for ways to give back. Now understand that there's times in your life that you have knee replacement surgery. And as Chris Sargent way in the back did. And so, you know what? You need other people to serve you. And so a number of people in our church took Chris out meals when he got done with his surgery. So there's times that you receive from the community. That's true. But as we are gathered together, we should spend most of our time looking for ways to serve one another. That's how we can love each other. Serve one another. That's number one. Number two and three go together on my list of five. Number two and three are be kind and forgive one another. This comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God and Christ forgave you. One of the ways we can express our love for one another in the body of Christ is just to be kind. And kindness in the scripture is not just being nice, although being nice is better than being a jerk. But kindness is more than just being nice. Kindness is going out of your way to express love to others. And there's lots of ways to express that kindness. Things like don't respond to harsh words with harsh words. That's a way to show kindness. Don't respond to hate with hate if you happen to encounter that in the church. Don't label people. Instead, get to know them. Here's a great way to show kindness. Don't assume the worst in people. Instead, assume the best and then let them disappoint you. That's a great way to show kindness. And if they disappoint you and if they hurt you, then you got the second part of that verse. Be kind, tenderhearted, and forgive one another. That yes, in the body of Christ, we all love Jesus and we're all following Jesus, but every once in a while, we're going to hurt each other. We're going to sin against each other. We're going to offend. Someone's going to say something. It's going to offend you. It's going to happen. But what we're called to do is to forgive one another just like God in Christ has forgiven us. So first, we can serve one another. Two and three is to be kind and to forgive one another. Number four is to teach and admonish one another. And these really go together. Teach and admonish one another. Comes from Colossians chapter 3, where it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. This teaching and admonishment kind of goes together. The word admonishment, because I know a lot of you are like, I don't really know what that word is. That word admonishment means to warn. There is a place in Christian community for those of you that are mature in your faith, who have been around for a while following Jesus. There's a place in which you can teach and warn those that are younger in the faith than you. Now, this one takes a little bit of sensitivity, because let me just say, first and foremost, no one likes unsolicited advice. So this teach one another and admonish one another doesn't mean you go up to a total stranger and tell them, I don't like the way you're raising your kids. You need to get right with the Lord. All right? Someone you don't even know. So don't do that. To teach and to admonish one another, first and foremost, requires a relationship with them, right? So you need to spend time in kindness and love and actually get to know. But once you get to know people in Christ, and if you start seeing them going down a dangerous road, there's a place in which you can step in and in love and with kindness say, I've been where you've been, and I can help you a little bit. When I was a young parent, I did not know what I was doing. And like most of us when we were young parents, right? I didn't know what I was doing. I read the books, and I still didn't know what I was doing. But I had a pastor. I was a youth pastor at the time. And I had a pastor that I was serving. It was so gracious to me to pull me to the side and give me a little admonishment when I needed it. Because I don't know about you, but when I was a young parent, I just had that kind of instinct just to yell. I can be loud. Maybe you haven't noticed that. And so as a parent, I would just like snap and yell. And I had this very kind pastor who I loved and who I knew loved me. He just kind of pulled me to the side and says, you don't have to yell. There's a better way to do this parenting thing. So in Christian community, there's an opportunity through love and with relationships to teach and admonish one another. And finally, number five on my list is to encourage one another. First Thessalonians chapter 5, therefore encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Life is hard. And everybody in here has either just got done fighting a battle, is in a battle right now, or is preparing to fight some kind of battle. One of the best ways for us to love one another is just to encourage one another. There's enough ugliness and animosity and hate out there in the world, in Christian community. When we come together, we should be looking for ways to encourage one another. Pats on the back, encouraging words. This is what we need to sustain us as a community. And when we do that, when we come together in community looking for ways to serve one another and to express kindness to one another and to admonish one another and to serve one another, and as we're seeing here, to encourage one another, when we start doing those kind of things, then we become this alternative community called the church, where people start, there's a buzz around the community that there's this group of people and they actually love each other. And I know that this encouragement part can be hard, particularly when you're going through a battle. But one of the ways you can experience a little bit of joy if you're in the struggle is to find a way to encourage the people around you. Amen? Well, we want to come now to worship the Lord in community by experiencing communion together. And so I'm going to invite you to the table of the Lord, which happens to be the same table you just ate barbecue at. I'm going to invite you to take a few moments with me to turn your heart and your attention towards the Lord tonight, because we believe that every opportunity that we have to experience communion is an opportunity and a way for us to connect our lives to Jesus Christ. That Jesus, when he was on that road to Emmaus, remember that story? It's at the end of Luke's gospel. Jesus is on this road to this place called Emmaus, and he's with these two disciples. This is after his resurrection, and they don't recognize that it's Jesus. And he's walking with them, and he's kind of playing a game with them. He's kind of playing coy. Like, you know, what's going on, guys? And they're like, don't you know Jesus of Nazareth has been crucified? And he's like, oh, really? Tell me about it. You know, they're having this conversation, and they don't know it's Jesus. And they're going and they stop for the night and Jesus is acting like he's going to go on. And they're like, hey, why don't you come in with us? Why don't you stay here with us? Come in. And they still didn't know it was Jesus. So he gets inside and they're serving a meal. And Jesus takes the bread. And when he breaks that bread, their eyes are opened. And they realize, oh, this is Jesus. He's been with us the whole time. And when they recognize Jesus, he disappears. Jesus is gone, but the bread is still on the table. And the disciples say, this is in Luke, the disciples say to each other, wow, there was that moment that our hearts were burning inside of us when Jesus was revealed to us in the breaking of bread. And so Jesus has given us this communion bread as a way for us to stay connected to him. In the bread and in the cup, Jesus is making himself present to us. And now all we have to do in this moment is make ourselves present to him. And so I want to lead you in praying our prayer of confession. We'll pray this together as a way to prepare our hearts. I might pray just a little bit before we get to this prayer. This will be a way for us to prepare our hearts. And then you'll have a little container of bread there at your table. And you can serve one another. And if you'd like to, you can say the body of Christ broken for you. You can do that if you want. And then after everyone at your table has a piece of bread, then if someone wants to grab that cup and serve each other and say the blood of Christ shed for you, you can say that if you want. Or if you don't want to say the words, it's fine. You can just everybody take a turn dipping into that cup. And know that when you're eating this bread and drinking from this cup, that we're connected as a community to Jesus Christ. So let's pray. I'm going to lead us in praying this prayer, the prayer of confession, just a moment. I might pray a little bit before we get there.